Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You are listening to the Grief Gang podcast, hosted by Amber Jeffrey, the podcast dedicated to having difficult and layered conversations on grief and loss. Through my own personal reflections on grief, inspirational guest appearances, and contributions from the incredible community, you will find an array of real, authentic, moving, and at most times humorous accounts of what it's really like to live with grief. It's not always doom and gloom, I promise you that. We know how to have fun whilst talking about the heavy stuff around here. So, welcome to the gang, the one you never asked to be a part of. Hello and welcome to your bonus episode of the Grief Gang podcast. It is a Sunday. And hopefully it is shining where you are. Hopefully if you're in the UK, we're hopefully having a sunny spell after the Gaelic force winds. I feel like with these bonus episodes, it's my obligation to start it with an honorary rant about the UK weather. So please just humour me there. Really, honestly, the wind. I think I probably said this time, I probably even spoke about it on last week's bonus episode. The wind really pisses me off. Of all the elements, the wind just really gets my goat. It really gets my goat. But wherever you are in the world that you might be listening, I hope the weather is treating you well. I hope you are well. I hope your grief is semi-treating you well and not got it on you in a chokehold. And thank you for joining me for this bonus episode. So for this week's bonus, I really love, and I will reiterate this so many times, of that I really love when you guys will either message or get in contact with me. And, you know, we just have a conversation and, you know, or you might share off something of, you know, or maybe asking me, like, would I talk about such and such on the podcast? And, you know, because it's a community-led podcast. It's not just my visions, my thoughts, my things that, you know, solely only intrigue me. You know, that's what I love about this community, because, you know, you inspire me and you think, yeah, actually, I do want to talk about that, or that's a really interesting avenue. So today's episode, again, has been inspired off of a recent conversation with a Grief Gang community member. And we were talking in the DMs on Instagram about end of life wishes and our own end of life wishes, and how feeling that pull to want to do something, to document something, you know, seeing anyone you love die, whether, you know, they were able to have their end of life wishes documented. I want, even, you know, one step further from end of life and also afterwards, what do you want in, you know, in your death, of kind of your, when you think about your funeral, maybe perhaps even further from that. I just think if it's very I guess, potluck of that experience of, you know, for some people, there's absolutely nothing that has been left by their loved one because either, you know, A, they didn't anticipate to die, whether, you know, maybe it was a sudden death or a very, very quick from diagnosis to death, you know, just all those things. Or even, you know, even people who do know that they're dying don't want to do it because it is still such a very, it's a difficult conversation. I'm not going to sit here and say that we should all be better at writing and saying about what we want at the end of our lives, because, you know, it's not something you just break over bread about, like on your afternoon tea together. It's a big conversation to think about, right? But, you know, slowly, you know, hopefully having conversations like this, just entertaining it a little bit might just help. So anyway, yeah, we were talking in the DMs about this, and she's quite young, and she was saying, you know, after her mum died, and kind of she's really got thinking about it herself and wants to, you know, maybe share with her loved ones about what she might be thinking about at the end of her life. But because she's young and she's not ill, everyone's kind of a bit like, or, you know, maybe not just this person, but it is the kind of general consensus of, well, you're so young and you're not dying, or you're, you know, got no anticipation that you'll die anytime soon. So why on earth would you start thinking about, you know, the things that you might want at the end of your life and subsequently after? And after this conversation, it really, you know, got me thinking about a lot, because as someone who, you know, I won't sit here and say that I myself actually have actually, you know, documented anything that I want, you know, at my end of life. But I have definitely been vocal about it with, you know, close friends and family, and probably even on here and on the Instagram at various different points, right? But it got me thinking about a couple of years ago, I went and got my foundation, I guess, qualification in Death Doula with End of Life Doula UK. And it was an amazing experience. And I didn't continue with it because I think I realized I'm quite interested in working with the living. But I, you know, and that door is not fully, you know, closed yet. It was an amazing experience. And I still to this day took away so much, like I'm about to share with you now, because I remember one of the exercises that we did was to sit and to essentially plan. I say plan, but, you know, really to sit and think about if we were to be on the end of our life in palliative care and hospice care, whatever it may be, end of life, what do you really want? And, you know, I think, you know, I think we, when we think about this, we might think of very, you know, basic level stuff. But what this exercise was, I remember it was so good. I might even dig out my old folder that I had of it just to reiterate at it, and I might share it, because it just went that step deeper of, you know, if there is a situation where, you know, you do are able to have complete say of what you want, or, you know, you can control that, I guess. Why not think about all the small details if you can and if you want to? So off the top of my head, what I remember, some of the questions we were asked were things like, what sort of sense do you even want in your environment as you're, you know, you're dying or you're in palliative care? And the third, you think, yes, that's so important. You know, what sounds do you want to hear? What environment do you want to be in? As we know, we do have choice, and we can advocate for choice in how we die and where we die, you know, and sometimes whether that advocacy comes from ourselves or comes from a loved one. So actually peeling back and really thinking about, in an ideal world, when I die and when I'm dying, what do I want? What do I want there? Who do I want there? When do I want them there? How do I want them to show up for me? Do I want them to really participate in my care? Do I not want them to? You know, all these details. And it was quite a few questions. And I remember we sat as a group and individual groups, and we worked on it. And I remember coming away feeling so kind of light that, though, you know, it wasn't my 100% plan, but I come away feeling really invigorated that I'd done that. And for something that, again, going back to, I think, why this is quite a difficult conversation for people and even entertaining it, is because I guess you can think that talking about what you might want at the end of your life and when you are dead is morbid as fuck. And I think I'll touch on it now, I think, and I'll kind of really give, you know, a key example and a very amazing example of Poppy and how when she died, But what I've learned subsequently going through Poppy's death and walking through that and witnessing and being part of her funeral was that when we can sit and we can honour and actually just sit with, okay, what might I want at the end of my life? It is almost, I feel like, stick with me here, a direct reflection of how you live your life. So, you know, when you might go to maybe a funeral, a celebration of life, and perhaps you might know the person, you know, really, really well, and you might walk away and just go, that was just not a reflection of who they were at all, because, you know, maybe perhaps they didn't have conversations or documentation of what they might have wanted. And, you know, the families or whoever is organizing, you know, just do the best that they can. That's no, you know, dig at people who, you know, you do the best that you can in these situations, right? But what I'm trying to hash out there is that having these conversations with people in your life while you can really give it the capacity, I think is a clear, direct reflection of how you live your life. And then in turn, I think is going to really, I say inspire you to almost like practice what you preach. Does that make sense? Of kind of, you know, let's say, I'm going to use Poppy as an example, right? And I will go into a bit of, you know, what Poppy did for her friends and family. But, you know, Poppy's funeral was Poppy. It was just, that's the only way to describe it. It was Poppy. So if there was anything, and it was a clear indication of her whole life, like it was just Poppy through and through. And it was just a direct like mirror to of, yes, this is how she lived. And this is also how she died. In death too. So in a way that Poppy's practiced what she preached in ways, like it was a direct reflection and honouring of her life. And so I'm just imagining that if it wasn't that, if it maybe was a bit more of a quieter, very traditional, rigid kind of funeral, I think so many of us would have walked away and gone, that was just not a reflection of her life. And so I think when you can sit and like what Poppy did, you know, Poppy, she did write wishes down in a very thorough way, not like rigid, like must do this, but she guided us with that. And what that was able to see that, yes, she was able to reflect on her life and to tell the story of her life in this. And so I think when we can maybe invite the conversation with, whether it is with people, loved ones, or just with ourselves and getting it down, it holds up a mirror to yourself of like, and are you living this too? Are you testament to this? Does that make sense? I hope it does. Like in my head, it makes sense in a way, but you know me, I'm always trying to make sense of things and it may not come across like that. But that's why I think it is actually a really useful exercise and something to entertain, because it's not just thinking about, oh gosh, when I'm not here, my God, what will I want to leave this world with? And, you know, not in an egotistical way of like, what will I leave and how will I be honoured and legacies and stuff like that. But it's like I was just saying, I feel it's a direct mirror to, and am I living that truth? Am I living that? Oh, it's getting a bit deep here and already 11 minutes in.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
So yeah, that's kind of why once I started having this conversation with this follower, it really got me thinking about it. And like I've touched on with Poppy, of that, you know, Poppy, in all the years that I'd known her, she had already always had her documents of what she'd want at the end of her life. And then obviously when Poppy got ill, that became more of a reality. I think when we had conversations on it of, You know, I think before, when we would have maybe laughed and joked about what we wanted, it was always in a, oh yeah, when we're grey and old, you know. And I remember, you know, one very distinct conversation of us being, you know, of me and her, of just like, you know, she never thought that it would actually come into use now at 36, right? And so, as horrific as it was that the, you know, the timeline of this wishes was being brought forward, it was one of the most amazing things that she was able to gift her family. And that's the part that I think I really, at the core of this episode, this bonus ep, I want to get home, is that it is a gift to your friends and family. Like, this isn't for you. This is for your loved ones, to help guide them, to help support them, to almost, you know, yeah, like, it's just that, to help guide and support them of, I am now gone, or I am now dying, and this is what I want, you know, for people at the end of their life, when they don't have the capacity, or the, you know, the physical or the mental capacity to advocate for themselves. These wishes can be that, right? And it just takes off such a stress and a worry off those closest to the person who was dying and died, because they've got it right there, you know. And even more, you know, if I think of Poppy's, you know, it was, there was such, you know, stone things of like, yeah, that's right. But there was also room for exploration, you know. It wasn't do A, B, C, and if you stray from it, I'm coming to haunt your ass. Like, it wasn't that at all. It was gentle guides. And I, from then on, it's been really something on my mind. And I think, you know, really wanting to explore and to share here, I guess, to, you know, get the message out of, it's okay to do it. And, you know, I'm not saying this, you know, it can feel like almost, oh, I must do all of it. You know, I think some might go to the length of, you know, wanting to actually like pay for their funerals and stuff. And that's absolutely fine if you want to go full hog and whatnot. But sometimes literally just simply writing in a document and in a Google Doc somewhere, I would like XYZ, or I would not like XYZ, writing on a bit of scrap paper. You know, it doesn't have to be this big formal document that you have to go and get, you know, confirmed by a solicitor and stuff. It's just good to get the conversation going. And I think what's really important here to say is that it doesn't matter what age you are. I think there might be a conception of, well, we have to be whatever age you might apply to that, to, you know, start thinking about what you might want at the end of your life, or you may have to be ill, or you may have to, you feel like, you know, people, if they, you know, buy properties or, you know, become parents, they think, oh, only now is it important enough to do it now. And I just think, no, you're important regardless of any of maybe physical or status things attached to you. Like, talking about what you want at the end of your life is, I think, is important no matter what age, who you are, what you do, what you have. It's important to say down, when I die, I think I would like this, or I would not like this. This is how I want to be remembered. And just like, you're worthy of that, you know? So I think, yeah, I'd love to see there. I am actually gradually, I think, seeing, and again, it goes back to maybe I'm in an echo chamber, right? But of more younger people being more like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. But it does just feel really overwhelming of like, you know, like I said earlier, you know, breaking bread over the table and saying, so shall we have a conversation about when we die, when we're dying, what we might want? You know, it's not exactly kitchen table talk. And so, you know, whether it is we endeavour on that exploration by ourselves for a little bit until we can maybe then want to share that with our loved ones. But what I wanted to actually like give a tangible like resource that could help you, and it's very apt because next week's episode is with the funeral director of this resource. So next Wednesday, I'm releasing an episode with Poppy Mardell. And just a side tangent, it was so nice to record the episode with her. One, because it's really nice just to say the name Poppy, as I just say that from my lips, and to say it to someone who is called Poppy. And two, because Poppy was the funeral director of our Poppies, of Poppy Chancellors. So it was a very felt full circle kind of conversation, and emotional, and just you know, I just have the utmost gratitude for Poppy Mardell and her business, Poppy's. But what we share on that episode is that Poppy's Funeral Directory offer a service called My Funeral Wishes, and it's a 45-minute consultation. This isn't promoted, ad, sponsor, anything. Like, I just think it's a wicked service. And I think it's for anyone who might be listening to this and, you know, might be a bit curious. It's a 45-minute consultation. You have a talk with them. And one of the big tips that Poppy shared in that episode that I will share here, I guess like a little pre-thing, is that people, the overwhelming thing, I think, when people think, I want to talk about what I may potentially want at the end of my life. Like, you know, I've lived through the death of a loved one, and whether you've had a good or negative experience of kind of being supported in that, knowing what your loved one wanted, you just feel this pull of like, I don't want this for me, and I maybe don't want this to happen again to my loved ones and them have to struggle and go through it. So what's really great, and I think is a great way to start, and what was shared with me, was that instead of thinking about what you do want, because that can be so overwhelming, there's so many things that you can get now, right, in kind of the funeral world, and thinking about, even, you know, going back as well, even at the end of your life, like I said, advocating for how you die, where you die, who's there with you, you know, all these things. It's hard to think about what you want, because you think, well, I might want loads of things, and what can I have? It's a great way to start is sometimes, what don't you want? And that, I think, often comes, you know, more quite easily of, no, I definitely, you know, maybe you don't want a burial, you don't want a cremation, you know, these hard things that you go, oh yeah, no, I don't want that. So that can be an easier place to start. So I'd highly recommend, I shared this with a few people who I've had these conversations with, of, you know, just talking to Poppy Funeral Directories, and they can maybe guide you with that. Or even if you don't want to go for the consultation, just using that tip that I just shared there of, instead of maybe sitting down, maybe writing on the header of a piece of paper, what do I want at the end of my life? And as I'm dying, you can put, what don't I want? And kind of see what comes up there. Sometimes just very simple, you know, language change can really help get things going right. So yeah, I hope for anyone who has been thinking about this, or, you know, for me, like, I think it's definitely more prominent for me now, I think, with my mum, because it just wasn't, I didn't really think about it, but with Poppy being so young and dying and seeing her, you know, be able to do that and to write what she wanted and to guide her family and friends, like, it was a true gift, a real true gift. And it's really got me thinking about it, and kind of, like I said earlier and was rambling on about, of, I think, to sit up and think about what you want at the end of your life really makes you think how you want to live it as well. Is how, when you die and how you're celebrated and as you were dying, a true reflection of how you lived your life. And I think how inspiring can that be? That's a really inspiring thing, I think, to do, of like, why at the end of your life would you want to maybe tell the final story of a life that isn't yours? You know, it's got me also thinking about the book by Dr. Catherine Mannix. Dr. Catherine Mannix was on the podcast a good while ago, you know, again, I think if you scroll back, I think even like season 2, Dr. Catherine Mannix, and her book With the End in Mind is honestly possibly one of the most, it transformed my perspective that I didn't even know I had a perspective on. And it's just an incredible book. And I think the whole ethos of this book is to, when we live with the end in mind, like, we truly live. When you live with what's at the end and how do I want it to be at the end, or just, yeah, kind of everything that I was just saying, it's a truly powerful book. You know, she tells stories of her time as a doctor, people that she met at the end of their life and the things that she learned from them and how they died and what that taught her. Incredible book. So I think, yeah, I think that's also another good place to start too. If you're curious about this, I definitely highly recommend that book. I'd love to know if anyone else who maybe is currently doing this or is thinking about it, has read any sort of material or watched anything, or what has maybe guided you through it. What I'd love to know most before I go is, has anyone planned theirs? That's what I really want to know. So if you're listening, I want you to toddle on back over to the Grief Gang Instagram and, you know, give me a message, write a comment, and just maybe share if you have, whether you've got the full plan. Like, I've seen people with like boxes, right, of the full gear in it, of like they've got, you know, documents printed, like passwords, things. Like, it's so efficient. I think, damn, that's a good, you know, death preparation box there. It's almost like preparing for Armageddon. It's so funny. I think it's brilliant. And so share those with me. If you've got an Armageddon death box, I want to see it, baby. Or if you're curious about it and you've maybe started and you're like, oh, this is what I've got so far, I just want to know. I want some inspo, guys, you know. So I'd love to hear if you have been thinking about or have started the process of thinking about what you want at the end of your life, and maybe what got you started thinking about. I think, you know, maybe the obvious is that you've experienced a death and you want to maybe change the outcome of, you know, for your own self. But I'd love to hear from you. Sit with after this episode, Jenny, just have a sit and think, what do and don't I want? In an ideal world, what could I have? What could I do? How do I want my loved ones to be part of this? How don't I want them to be part of this? What do I want them to feel on the day? Just sit and have a think with it. And if you feel like sharing it with someone, go for it and say, you know, listen to this and I want to share this with you, or get it down. You know, I'd be really curious just to see, you know, how many of you have maybe thought about it now after the back of this episode. And just, I think, to finally say before I wrap it up, is that it's not morbid. It's not morbid. I think, you know, the more we turn our heads away and quite literally be like, I think sometimes for some people, they think, well, if I talk about it, it's going to bring it on, right? You're going to jinx things, right? And it's the same with grief. I think, you know, I've heard people say things like that all the time of, you know, people who run away from people who are grieving because they genuinely feel like it's contagious. I don't know why whenever I say that, it genuinely makes me laugh so much. Because I just think, what is actually wrong with you that you think grief would be contagious? But I'm gonna leave it there. Thank you for listening to this week's episode, and I will see you on Wednesday for the Poppy Mardell episode. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. I appreciate more than you'll ever know your support of the show, and I hope this episode has supported you in one way or another. Spread the good word about the Grief Gang podcast. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Subscribe to the show on your chosen listening platform so you're first to know when a new episode drops. Visit the show notes below to follow the Grief Gang on all social platforms. And pay our website a visit to find further resources and ways to get in contact and work with me. Look after yourself and know that you are never alone. I'll see you soon.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.